Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 730. I am Chris. Oh, no, 731. I am sorry. I am Chris, as always, joined by Earl. Tony is going to be late tonight.
And I just wanted to say, right here, right now, I'm ready to debut my new album on this podcast. Crap, this is not a video podcast, though. Okay, never mind.
Well, I'm glad you were going to announce your new album, Earl, on our show. That's great.
My life as a showgirl fan. That is the name of the movie with Jesse Spano, right, showgirls?
Is Jesse Spano the one from...
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, that's name. Showgirls is... I believe it's Showgirl, right? Not Showgirls.
Showgirls. Come on, guys.
Is it Showgirls?
Yeah.
It's Paul Verhoeven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Showgirls too?
Wait. That... Jeff is here.
Hello.
Wait, what is Showgirls 2, Earl?
Pennies from Heaven? That I don't understand. That I don't understand what they're going for. Because it looks like it's pennies, like apostrophe. But I don't... So, Pennies from Heaven doesn't make any sense to me, though. Like, they own from heaven?
I don't know. It does have... So,
oh, that's the black dude from the first one.
That's the name of Penny.
And it has Penny from the first. I don't know who Penny is, but Rena Riffle plays her in both. And then Glenn Plummer is also back. They didn't get anybody else. But
I mean, these movies are like 20 years apart. I'm surprised they got anybody back.
Oh,
145 okay. Minutes.
With a budget of $30,000.
And a whopping 388 reviews on Letterboxd.
I'm assuming that movie ever.
Holy shit.
Wow. So it was written and directed by the one... Woman from Showgirls. Yeah. Her whole budget probably went to just getting the
rights.
Yeah, to be able to say it's Showgirls too. That's wild. That is yeah. Insane. So that's a movie that I mean, I guess people could go watch. I don't recommend it, but it's out there. I mean,
it's good. Who knows?
Jeff, what is the Letterboxd average?
Got
2.5.
I just went back to the first one. 2.5.
Honestly, that is way higher than
I expected.
Yeah. Letterboxd is bougie. Like they're like
top review, 1/2 star. How is it this long and nothing fucking happens?
It's good.
I mean, just a quick aside. I mean, this is already an aside, but the agreement is Letterboxd, and I watched Waterworld, the new one that came out.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was the first time I've ever gone to Letterboxd and seeing like every single one of my friends who watched the movie in agreement with the film. Everybody who gave it 1/2 a star. Like everybody I know who watched it. Because sometimes, like, I will be honest, I gave it 1 star. So, but like, usually you see a movie, it's like 3 stars, 3.5 stars. Somebody might go 2, somebody might go 5. There's never, like, I saw it, like, 8 people, 1/2 a star. I'm like, okay. Like, even great movies, like, even like all time classics, I've seen people give like 4.5, 4s. Like, seeing everybody give it 1/2 a star, I'm like, oh, this is impressive as hell. And the movie's not great.
So since you watched it, and I think I have the same disease you have, Earl, where it's like we have to watch these like really bad movies. Is it like I know it's really bad, but is it like entertainingly bad, or is it just boringly bad?
It is not boring. It is stupid. Okay. Like, I was watching it. I won't spoil anything. I mean, aside, I assume you've seen the Amazon scene, or you've half the Amazon scene before.
Yeah. But
I have a friend who I watch bad movies with. We're neighbors to each other. And like, we've watched a lot of bad movies over the years and stuff like that. But like, to your point, a lot of ones people say bad are nowadays are just kind of like meh.
And yeah, they're just boring.
Yeah, I was just like 45 minutes in. I'm like, we're so back. This is one of those movies that's so bad. It's so good back to just being enjoyable. Because again, just to give a quick synopsis, if you don't know anything about this movie, it is Waterworld, which is a very ancient story. I think originally put on like as a radio drama. So I'm like modernizing it to do it via like internet and stuff like that. Seems like a novel idea. And I've seen Searching and Missing, which are both movies that predominantly take place on via a screen and like a person interacting with that. So the premise can work. Ice Cube, not the person to use this movie. And it is the absolute worst. Like, there's a thing where, yes, it is just Waterworld. Apparently, it takes place in like maybe half of a day because he does not leave that building. Waterworld, if you've seen Tom Cruise, I think with most recently the remake of it in like 2005, that takes place over several days. At some point, his son joins the army, stuff like that. This all takes place in an afternoon. This all takes place in one afternoon.
Oh. It isn't, yeah. Well, I don't remember the original, but like I remember the Tom Cruise one. Doesn't like a cold kill?
They came to Earth, they invaded, but they couldn't accommodate for like the common cold, and it ended.
Yeah,
and
that's what like ultimately kills them is like over time, like they die of the cold.
Yes.
Okay, so this all happens in like a work day though.
Yes, pretty much.
That's stupid. Oh, all right. I was debating watching it. I think you've at least you've given me reason to kind of like maybe give it a go.
I've seen some clips and I feel like I've seen all I need to see.
Probably.
It seems like not a movie, and like Ice Cube is like terrible in it.
Jeff, this Showgirls talk has brought us back to David Lynch's favorite dude, Kyle MacLachlan, who was in Showgirls.
Yes, that's true.
Like, we just keep circling back to him this week. Earl, Jeff, and I watched Blue Velvet and the first two episodes of Twin Peaks: The Return this week, which featured Kyle MacLachlan. It's just funny that Showgirls came up, and I just saw him listed in the casting of that. We'll just keep talking about entertainment right now while we wait for Tony to come back, who doesn't watch things. I don't know if that's true or not, but.
There's a Showgirls 3.
Wait.
What?
That can't be real. same thing? Like, same people?
No.
No, so somebody else.
One review. One review.
Wait, when did 3 come out then?
Oh my god.
What? So what is this Showgirls 3?
I'm trying to figure out.
I just looked it up and it says it's also called You Crazy Bitch.
That's the poster on Letterboxd.
Okay. So it seems like somebody probably just took it and was like, we're going to call our movie Showgirls. And like, at least Showgirls 2 like follows. I mean, haven't watched it, but there's like characters from the original. Like, the Showgirls 3 thing just seems like...
I am so fascinated because, again, it doesn't even seem like it's that big of a brand.
Right.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand at all.
It's very, very odd. All three of us watched Alien Earth. And Jeff and I talked a little bit about it last night. Earl, what did you watch both? Have you watched both episodes?
I've seen the first episode so far.
Okay. So what did you think of the first episode? I think your opinion may elevate after the second one.
Okay. Oh, wait. Is that a good or bad thing?
I think the second episode is very good. Like, I think it's what you're looking for out of an alien show, movie thing. So, interested to hear what you have to say about the first episode.
Oh no, I enjoyed it. I think a decent. I start off with the negative. I think the only issue I had really was a sense of time, because they kept on cutting back between the ship and the stuff that was going on Earth with synthetics.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure. I assume the stuff on the ship felt like it was real time, where the stuff on Earth was very much like years or months of stuff going on. The little girl becoming the synthetics were on Earth, and then the ship is a android?
Cyborg.
Cyborg, yes.
Yeah.
Robots is purely technical. Android is human cybernetic combination, and then a android is a robot that looks like a human.
I believe so. Yeah, I think they did throw that up at the beginning, didn't they?
I can never keep like all that shit straight, but you know, I get the difference between who is what in it, you know, like
yeah,
you can tell who is like a robot and who is, you know, a consciousness.
Yeah, because the synthetics in this were, I mean, they were, are, and I think it's new to the franchise, and I can't be wrong, but they are humans who have their minds transported into robot bodies versus the one on the ship who is just it's just a robot with the appearance of a human. But yeah, anyhow, it was, I mean, I will say, I think the girls, it is kind of messed up. I mean, in some ways it's positive, in some ways it's not, that they have these kids basically transported into these killing machines. But yes, the episode, I think, you know, I think they understood what worked from Alien, because he's very much on the ship. You start off with the scene with them having breakfast or some type of meal. You get to know the crew really quickly. Does not matter by the end of the episode. you get the betrayal from this the android, but this one's very cold-blooded. I mean, even in the first movie, they were cold-blooded. Like, this one's just straight up, like, he seals the door. Nobody buys him, like, an additional, like, 2 minutes. You get to see the xenomorph right away, which I thought was really cool. I thought the big crash was gnarly. I did not like everybody converging at the point at the same time for, like, oh, we got to get all these characters together. And the stuff with like her brother thinking she was dead, while she's creeping on him. But I enjoyed it. I'm really curious to see where the show goes. And if you say the second episode is better, I'm really intrigued to see that as well.
I think it's more fun. I thought it was better. I don't know what your take on it, Jeff, was. I don't know if you thought it was a better episode, but I definitely had more fun with the second episode. The first one, like, this is intriguing. And then the second episode was like, yeah, this is fun. Well, this is good stuff.
I think it's like a natural progression with most TV shows, you know, like the first one is setting everything up, you know. But yeah, there's some fun shit in the second one.
The alien is absolutely brutal in the second episode.
And looks good. Looks like practical a lot of times.
Looks really good. And then, as you said last night, Jeff, there's like other cool like alien creatures too, which I think they do show a little bit in the first episode, but
I think so, yeah.
But I think, and I, again, like I said, I need to rewatch it the end a bit more, because it was just there was that one dude who has like that really slimy thing go down his back, and I was like, oh, I'm curious to see what becomes of that, because it would be, because like, yeah, having one xenomorph run around Earth is kind of nifty, but eventually within people would just take it out. Having a bunch of different type of aliens go about it would be fun.
So the second episode will like paint it as like this could get out of hand real quick, kind of like in Aliens.
Yeah. I was gonna say, William, they just really need to stop trying to get the sample. Like,
yes. And I thought that was neat too, was, I mean, like, if you've ever, you know, followed anything with Alien, you knew that like Weyland-Yutani, giant corporation, kind of controls stuff on Earth. This is a little bit before they have complete control. And
it is weird that is, like, I mean, I guess it's not weird because it's where we're heading, that everything's kind of run by different corporations.
Yeah. And this Weyland-Yutani ship crash lands on this Prodigy, like in their territory, Prodigy being another one of the five corporations. And they're the ones that are doing the hybrids. So basically synths that have human consciousness in them. Here's what flashed on screen was cybernetically enhanced humans or cyborgs, artificially intelligent beings or synths, and synthetic beings downloaded with human consciousnesses are hybrids.
Okay.
I think it's fun. I'm really looking forward to episode 3 next week. So. And Earl, we have both, there's only 3 episodes left. The season's going super quick. I feel that we talked about it at the beginning last week. And now are we 7 episodes in now? Yeah,
7 episodes in.
Yeah, so Twisted Metal season 2 has only been out for like 2 weeks and there's 7 episodes. That show it's getting fun. I mean, I thought it was fun. I thought the first season was fun. As we said last week, this one started a little bit slow, but you know, they're getting to the tournament, and actually we're now into the tournament.
I think they do a really good job, and maybe that's why they did what they did with the episode count, because I think last week, because I think the first week ended with the announcement of the tournament.
Right.
Last week ended with like the preliminary round, like the, and then this week ended with an actual episode about one, like the first competition. I mean, I guess both has been competition because they're eliminating people, but I do like that they do it where, because then you get an episode that's kind of like the down, where it's like, okay, you get to sit with the characters and their relationships, and then you get an action. So it's basically like an hour episode divided into two. But you get the down. Like this week, we had them. They finished that race. You know, they talked to Mayhem. I think that's the girl.
Yeah.
And of course, that comes up. You know, something comes up with her in episode 7. We get to see everybody kind of see what the wish is, or how you make your wishes in that really weird room. You had that really weird thing with them like rooming up in a school. That was kind of a really weird but interesting choice.
Yeah, where after the first round or after the preliminary round, they're all kind of given dorms and have to go through a cafeteria. It's really weird.
Yes, and then the poor guy with the axu, because he couldn't get anything.
It's very funny. Like, it's kind of like, because they've created these video game characters. Like, Axel Jeff is the guy who... he's basically a dude that's in between two giant wheels in the game. And they've created him in this, and his, the thing is that his hands are basically the axles to make the wheels go. So when he pulls them out, he can't do anything with them. So he's trying to like open up this container with the fucking sandwiches and he can't do it. It's a pretty funny scene. With that, and I think they do a pretty good job of making these characters are stupid, and the games don't really give you a whole lot of personality on them. But they're these things, they're really dumb, but they also feel like personifications of like what the video game would be.
Yes, and I think they, you know, they are, it's really good at expressing new people. Again, even people who are only in it for an episode or two, and again, I won't get into spoilers for that, but, you know, there are big characters or like named characters that we know who are killed off in the tournament because it has to make sense for them for it to have any value. I think one of my favorite things, and I think this is true of the game too, is like a part of the episode six is them, like, they have to take like a physical. And at one point, it's like, what's your name? Sweet Tooth. What's the car name? Also Sweet Tooth. I'm like, oh, it is weird that, like, yeah, that is both. I mean, he has an actual name, and Grimm keeps on calling him it. I forget his actual name.
Marcus.
Marcus. But, like, yes, it's Sweet Tooth, and his car is Sweet Tooth. I'm like, yeah, I think that's also true of the game, because I've always, like, yeah, I just think of Sweet Tooth at Aji the mascot. The
ice cream truck. Yeah.
But, yes, it's a really fun bit with him. And again, that whole episode, and I, you know, like I said last week, I think that there's moments where it's Aji horny, and I mean that in a positive way, where it's just, we're just going to take this very subtle or not so subtle joke and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had that not a sexual joke, but the joke with Stu and Vincent or whatever, where like his old best friend is kind of like his new bestie is just like really just kind of being obnoxiously nice to him.
Yes. And to everybody.
Yeah.
he's just super cheery with everybody in the show. Yeah, that's amusing. It's just like Stu feels very much like, he's very jealous of this new relationship that his friend has, so he keeps trying to like overstep.
And then the progress with Sweet Tooth. Yeah, there's some great character moments. Again, I feel like there's characters or dynamics that could have been very one note that they make work. I think they've done a good job also of making the competition interesting for the audience, because the game is really just a death match. It's really just you go around, you shoot stuff until other cars blow up. But they've been able to add hooks to it. The first race, the qualifier was you had statues and you had to get the statue safely to the end zone without it taking damage or without your car blowing up. This one, there's like eight markers on the map, and you have to go out of your car too to collect them. And it added an element. I don't know if you got to the icy, and that was so funny.
Yeah, that's we got a little bit past that where Mayhem gets her.
Oh, where she get? Okay. So yeah. But where they are able to, like, yes, you could do stuff in the car, and they have. I mean, we've seen, again, people die from their cars or in their cars, but like to get stuff outside of it as well and to have moments with people or characters face to face does add an element to it. And I think they did a good job with that. And again, it's, again, something different where it's more to kind of capture the flag where you, where you have to get it, because like, well, just because you have it doesn't mean that you'll get it safely across the finish line. So you have to do both of those things. You have to capture something and get it to the end.
And that cool, like, it's kind of like a little, the guy was kind of cheated his way through, but Grimm like jumps on top of Sweet Tooth into his truck, and crosses the finish line.
You can't pass without it. That's not saying you have to have possession of it.
So I thought that was like a neat way of like, all right, you kind of have to have Mr. Grimm continue on here, at least until, you know, for the next couple episodes. But so how do we do that? Because we haven't really given him a whole lot to do. And these other characters kind of need to also be there. Like Raven needs to keep going. At least, into the final week of the show.
Yes, and that was why. That's what I was curious about, because I'm like, they do need to start pruning off characters, but there's so many characters who I assume you won't cut off, because they are this show. Because like, Raven, you could probably kill off near the end because there's so many of them. Like, I can't see them getting rid of Sweet Tooth. I don't want them to get rid of Aksu. I assume there'll be something with Mayhem and Quiet at some point. Stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how it wraps up next week.
Have you played the games, Earl?
Ages ago. I used to play them on the PlayStation. I think I played 1 and 2.
So John and Quiet are called Roadkill in this one. Is that an actual character, or are they just new?
I wanted to say they are, but at some point there was a homicide, a main thing, and there is a game called Roadkill. So that's what I was like. I wasn't sure if I was against getting those two confused. But I have to imagine they are characters just because they're naming them. Like, he wasn't named Mayhem last season. But hold on, let's see. And again, the good and bad is a lot of this stuff. It's just going to be about the game now.
Yeah, and the actual tournament stuff is pretty neat. Like the way they're, it's very much Death Race 2000, yeah. Like that style. But it's fun. So, yeah, Roadkill is from Twisted Metal Black, evidently.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so for everybody else is, yeah, Preacher, Roadkill. Okay, yeah. Of course, Sweet Tooth, Mayhem, Aksu, Calypso. I assume Calypso at some point will probably be a final boss-esque race. Because he did. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you have not gotten to the end of the episode, so I won't say.
No, I still have about 10 minutes left.
Okay, so yes, we shall continue this at some point.
Sure. But yeah, if you enjoyed any of Twisted Metal Season 1, Twisted Metal Season 2 is a fun time. Tony, welcome.
Sorry, I was detained.
But
yeah, I bet that could happen now.
Yes.
As your city is under federal control now, so.
Actually, I'm outside of the containment zone because I live a block over the border. So,
oh.
I'm in Maryland. So I'm.
So you're fine for now.
Yeah. My girlfriend, though, we'll never see her again. Never.
Oh no.
She's in the middle of it all.
And I'll be.
You'll be right in the middle of it. She's in like the U Street area where they set up the checkpoint yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes, I will be. That was not my intention. Was to go experience the lockdown of DC this weekend. But when I bought my wife the tickets to the show, we're going to.
Honestly, you probably won't notice the difference.
Okay.
You personally won't.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's happening out there. Anything else going on, Tony, in your neck of the woods?
Well, there were a bunch of police out in front of my building last night because someone got stabbed. That was cool.
Well, I mean, that's what they. That's
the Did you clean up all the evidence?
Well, I mean, that's where I was, you know, that's why I'm late.
You had to go back out and make sure he scrubbed it down.
That's right.
This is why he's been paying power wash them. Get that practice in.
Crime scene cleaner. I got lots of tips there. Great game.
Does you just gotta add some detergent to your bucket, make it last longer?
No, I was playing Total War last night, and it was probably 1 a.m. And I look outside, I just see cop cars everywhere. Yeah, some guy got stabbed.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
For him and the fact that like it happened right down by your house. So.
Well, I mean, it's like either. It's not even the like some guy got in view of my girlfriend's living room window. Like some guy got carjacked, and then the guy who carjacked him ran over him with his car.
Oh.
So. There's that.
It's great. Can't wait to visit DC tomorrow. Oh,
it's kind of like it's so 2023 was like the worst crime year in the history of DC.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Trump started talking about like coming to DC and like nationalizing it and taking over the police force. Magically, the crime numbers all got better. I don't necessarily know there was less crime, but the numbers got better. And yeah, now he's actually done it. I don't know if it's made there be less crime, but like you can actually see police now. You never saw any police before. It was very weird. You saw them like at protests, like standing there, but like
right.
Like there was like if you walked down my girlfriend's street, you'd never see police ever. It was very weird. There was a stretch last year where there were a bunch of attacks on businesses, like people were like breaking the windows and that kind of stuff. And like the police never started patrolling. They just let it happen. It was very strange. So very
well. Well, hopefully in the 30 days that know, he has federal control that everything will magically be fixed. And
it's like it's the worst. It's because he brings all the other crap with him, like all the immigration arrest and all that stuff. But like somebody needed to do something. So I don't know. Very complicated situation. It sucks. But it could also be good. One of those.
I'd say, you know, like a, you know, it's one of those things, like a broken clock is right twice a day thing. Like,
right.
Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. Like, if it works out, then great.
They've tried to pass all these reforms and like they like the DC council passed this bill that got refused by Congress and then they refused to pass an amended bill. They also did this thing where they, mandated that the police undergo an audit and the police just refused to undergo the audit. So we have no idea how they spend their time or what they're doing.
Well, that seems like something that should happen. Like we should definitely be auditing.
I think DCSI, I think that's something that should happen. But yes, a lot of people push back against it and it's I think whatever people said about defunding the police. There needs to be police reform or accountability because so much of it is like, we'll just write bank checks and hope for the best. The police, I think, is a complicated issue, especially for my types.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's one of those things where, because you said it, and I personally speaking, I never feel more comfortable with the presence of an abundance of cops. Because it always feels like something has to have happened if there's a bunch of cops around.
Because if
there is a bunch of cops, did something happen or are they waiting for something to happen? Because our example, you always hear about how dangerous the subways are here. They're not that dangerous, but it's whatever. But so what they always did is like, we'll increase police force. And then what you end up doing is you go to a station where there's like five cops just on the station doing nothing. And that's because it's like, because they can't, and if you're going to rob somebody or something, you're not going to do it where the cops are.
You'll That's be like, right.
Oh, there's cops here. You're going to wait to the next station or something. So it's one of those chicken or egg things, because again, even with all the increased cops in stations or on the train here, there's still, again, not saying that crime doesn't happen, but the reaction always seems to be so much more, because it makes some people comfortable because they see them, but if you see them, then they're not really solving anything.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It's very complicated. Again, that's why you kind of audit them. You want to know, like, what are they doing?
What are they?
Like, where are they? If they're just sitting in the the station, that doesn't help anybody. If they're at, like, all in one place, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's got to be a good way to police. I don't know what that way is, but it's definitely not any of the ways that I've seen so far.
Yeah, and nobody wants to, like, be like, oh, like, maybe you don't put all your investments into just cops. Like, you get, like, a mixture of, like, cops and mental health professionals, because sometimes it is just people who are unhoused or whatever.
Yes.
Having a day, and arresting them and being aggressive with them does not help anybody. But talking them down on the edge or something like that would. And yes, you know, putting them in, I think part of it, and I'm not an expert. Is one of the things I know that we always get into in the city is that so many cops are not members of the neighborhoods they patrol.
Yes.
And that becomes
it's one of those things in small town America. Like, the police are always a part of the community, and yeah, here the police don't live here; they live somewhere else.
I mean, I've never lived in a small town, but that's always the thing. You see. The cops know everybody, like, because it's a small town. Like, you know everybody. You know the doctors. Yeah. You know, like, in here. Which it doesn't make any sense. Like, lots of cops live where my mom lives in Philly. It's like the Northeast, like pushing the border, like almost outside. But to work as a Philly cop, you have to be in Philly. But these cops work in like West Philly, North Philly. They don't work in Northeast Philly where they live. They work, you know, all over the city, and they don't care about those neighborhoods. They care about the neighborhood they're in, like that they live in, but they don't care about like the other neighborhoods that they're working in. I think we should maybe change that. Like, hey, if you want to be a cop in this precinct, you have to kind of live within the boundaries of the precinct.
But I mean, the flip side of that is, like, you know, the double-edged sword is, like, all the people in that zip code wanted to actually be police officers.
Right. It's true. Yeah. It's like there are areas, I'm sure, in D.C. and Chicago and in Brooklyn and New York and Philly, where like the people that live in certain areas, like they don't grow up to be cops. They don't want to be cops, and then you just don't have any kind of staff. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They grow up hating, like, cops, like in a lot of cases.
And good luck. Like now you're like, okay, let's move a cop to that neighborhood. Oh God, you know, right. What's going to happen to that poor person?
Yeah, I don't know if we have the solutions, but I'm fairly confident that the people in Congress and the Senate also don't have the solutions, so they haven't been able to
Donald
fix
Trump
it our entire
does not
lives.
Have the solution. It's he does not know what the answer to the problem is.
On a lot of levels, like for a lot of problems.
Yes, and then it's oftentimes, and this doesn't just go with police force, but you know, if you have a hammer, every problem's a nail. Where I think a lot of times people are just like throw more money at it, and it's like at some point you're throwing money, and I don't want to say it's going to waste, but you're not doing anything different. You're just like more. It's like no, like that's. Like, let's see what the money's actually used for. Is it at some point it is ridiculous that our police officers look like they're in a war zone with like these tactical vests and these big ARs and stuff like that. Like that, I don't know.
The decommissioned military equipment.
I saw
Humvees and stuff.
Yeah.
Armored vehicles. Like, why do you have that? You're a cop. Yeah. Not.
And that doesn't make anybody feel safe. It's like, why are you bringing these weapons of war into our neighborhoods?
Yeah. Like, is it actually that dangerous out there? Should I be armed as well? Like,
right.
I think, again, you know, blue skies are a very different beast. You're seeing stuff filtered throughout. But, like, seeing, like, five or six, like body-armored vest cops walking through a park where people are just, like, jogging or sitting on a bench, it's kind of a ridiculous, you know, composition of how dangerous DC is versus like everybody just going about their day.
Yep. All right. Well, did TV shows. We did The Occupation of Tony's Neighborhood. I don't know. I did not catch a lot of news this week. In terms of video games, I don't know if you guys caught anything that peeked out at you. Gamescom is coming, so I think that's where a lot of news is going to come from.
I was gonna say, I think there was a few announcements, the port of Final Fantasy, the Fast and the Furious arcade game, which just looks like a cruising game.
Because the arcade game is by Raw Thrills, does the cruising games.
Yeah,
this is just a port of that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But I also saw that, and I'm like, I have no idea what any of this actually has to do with Fast and the Furious. I guess there's cars in it, but that doesn't mean anything.
So I didn't play it when we were on vacation. It was in the arcade that was there. And I took a look at it, and it looks like there's like missions that you go on, which seem like kind of Fast and Furious type missions. Like you're driving down a highway and like trying to, you know, take out a bank vault or something. It's like dumb superhero car stuff, which is what that movie franchise kind of is now. I did not play it, so I don't know how it actually works, but we'll see. Did they have a price on it, Earl?
I think it's $30.
That's not bad. I might buy it at that. Cruisin' Blast, was that the one, Jeff, that came out?
Yeah, on the Switch.
Yeah. And that was a fun game. Yeah. So
it's awesome.
Great music too. Yeah.
Wait, there's new Cruisin'?
No, the Fast and Furious game looks like a cruising game.
Yeah. And the arcade game is made by the people that made Cruisin' Blast.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, sorry.
So it might be, I could throw $30 at a fun arcade racing game.
Hell yeah, dude.
I just remember saying, because it's published by Game Mill, and yeah. Game Mill feels like the studio I should hate. But in their content, like I think they know their lane. And they stick to it. They are very B-tier developers or publishers. Like, because the other game that they announced is the Snoopy game they announced this week.
Oh, there's a new Snoopy game. All right.
I don't know if it's new or not, but.
Game Mill. News. There's a new Hot Wheels. Yeah, there's a new Snoopy game. Yeah. Was it Snoopy and the Great Mystery Club? All right, and a new Hot Wheels also from them.
Yeah, so I assume they had something going on this week because it was like every hour this would come. I'm like these are like because they're all out this year. I'm like none of these are game changers, but they're all kind of like, oh, this is a nice announcement. It may not be for me, but somebody's into it. Like again, I might check out the Fast and the Furious game, just to again because I had cruising and it's very much cruising with the Fast and the Furious branding.
That Hot Wheels game is developed by the Nickelodeon people. Those Nickelodeon kart racers they're not great, but they're fun enough.
And that's what I mean. Like again, that's kind of I don't think they're published by Game Mill. But I think that's where because I played like the Game Mill G.I. Joe game. I think I talked about it a couple of years ago when I got it. Like they're fun games. Again, not great, but like they're fun enough and they tend to be like discount games. If they were like 60, 70, it would be a different conversation. But going for $30-$40, I'm like, okay, you know what? We can work with this. We can work with this. The other thing, I don't remember if we ever talked about Itch.io.
About the porn stuff or?
Well, the adult games, yes.
Yeah.
Because it seems like people are trying to do something similar with Steam, where I think PayPal stopped accepting Steam purchases that were not in I think six currencies, like the American dollar, the pound, the euro, and some other stuff. And I think, and I should probably find this, I think Steam has removed PayPal as a payment method.
No, it does. I use it.
No, but I think it happened like today or.
Oh, today.
So it's only. So PayPal use on Steam is currently unavailable if your currency is not euros, Canadian dollars, British pounds, Japanese yen, Australian dollars, or USD. So, Tony, like, I use PayPal on Steam as well. Yeah. We probably can still use it. But anybody that uses other currencies other than those six, it's now.
If you're in Mexico, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mexican PayPal.
But yes, it seems like, again, it's a bunch of people. It seems like it's a bunch of people who are trying to use the credit card companies or intermediaries to kind of pressure them to, do the anti-woke games or whatever and whatever. So it we'll see where this goes. But yeah, it does seem like it came from PayPal because I think like MasterCard is pressuring them. And again, we're having a very stupid society right now.
So is there anything, did PayPal stop accepting on Itch or?
Well, I think because it had to remove all of their adult oriented games, but it seems like they're bringing some of them back. The credit card company saying it's not us, because I think a lot of people have just been calling to harass them about it. And so I think they're starting to bring back some of those games. I'm curious to see what happens because, again, if credit card companies can start kind of controlling what is or isn't available on websites, that's a whole different, messy, ugly future we don't want to get. because people are just going to go after them because they're beholden to their shareholders. And if they're like, oh, you can't, because I mean, like, that's what you, like, it's going to be like a thing where it's like, you're going to have to start like buying like gift cards at Amazon or something, and it's dumb.
And a lot of this stems from this conservative Australian group that was putting pressure on like Visa and MasterCard, Stripe, and other payment processors, which made them kind of take that down. And their ultimate goal is basically to censor the internet. So it's real easy to go, the games that they're saying you should remove are kind of gross, and they maybe should remove them because who wants games with like stepbrother and stepsister sex? That's weird. But also
a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people, but like they
Alabama that's game the shit company. That, yeah,
that's the shit that they've targeted right now. It's like it's easy to get people on board with being like, yeah, that stuff's weird because I wouldn't do it, but it's like none of it's illegal. Like,
yes, it's something that they often tell us at the library is that they may not like a book or something, but they will always fight for the right for a book to be in a library. That's not to say that there aren't books that you won't remove off the shelf for one reason or another. I mean, books get removed, because they're old, they have dated information, they're beat up and stuff like that. But I'm sure there's also books that maybe you'll have like one or two in the system or you won't have it all. But like this is something that's come up constantly with like the debates about like, oh, they're banning books here. It's like, oh, we could like, but if you remove those books, even if you don't like them, then you're not any better. And it's the same thing. I guess we may not want those games. I don't think we do. But you're opted into it. It's not like you're being forced to buy these games.
Yeah. And then like the thing is, once they get those removed, they go to the next step.
Yeah. We see that constantly. You see that with, we saw that with trans rights and like them going after that, and now like, they're going after like, gay marriages. And it's like, yes, because if they can get away with one thing, they're going to keep pushing it to see what they can get away with until you stop them, and then they'll find a different way around that battle. I mean, I think the better example, abortion. I mean, I think most people would say that they're pro-abortion, but they were able to reframe that debate over 20, 30 years into being like, are you pro-life or pro-choice? And the people who are quote-unquote pro-life are like, never pro-life, because again, once you have that baby, they don't care about that baby. That baby better have not, you know, like now that baby better not have been born in American to not America to non-Americans. That baby, if it gets shot up in school, you know,
and pray. Even if they were born in America, they better get to work, because
yes,
you know, health care unless you're working.
And at this, you know, the way it's going, like, and then they better be able to have babies and, you know, marriage at 13, because that's what people want. Like, yeah, you are not pro.
Who's asking for us to lower the legal? I know who's asking. I know the people that are asking. But like, that's not something most Americans are like, yeah, you know what? We should definitely go back to when we sold our daughters off to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with that.
No. I vote no.
That's weird. yeah, my girls are hard-headed, so they would not be on board with me selling them off to some dude anyway. That's fun. in lighter news, the only other thing that caught my eye is that the Retro Classics app that's on Xbox that has like the old Activision Atari games, and there's like some PlayStation games on there as well. They just uploaded or updated that app to include 6 new games. None of these jump out at me as something that you would want to play, but hey, if you're looking for some old classic games, they've added 8 more to that app. So I guess that's fun. Jeff, what have you been playing this week?
I finally wrapped up sort of Dragon Quest XI, so mostly that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Almost on that one?
Well, I beat the game.
Oh, you beat it. Okay.
I beat the game. I was stuck on the final boss for days and had to, you know, grind, level up, get better gear, et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny, too, like, there was one time I was like, I finally did good. And I was like, hell yeah. And, you know, beat him. And then apparently there was a second phase. I was like, oh God. And he's like much harder. And did okay in that second phase. But like everybody fucking got killed. And I did not realize this is a thing that happens, because I didn't die much in the game. But when all my party members died, they brought in my spare party members who, like, the ones I weren't, like, wasn't using. And since I wasn't using them, I hadn't fucking leveled them up in, like, 30 hours. Like, they had all these skill points that I had not fucking used. But I could not use them in mid-battle, so I was like, fuck!
So you had to kind of, like, lose the battle and then go.
I lost, yeah. And then leveled up some more. Like, I was literally stuck on this boss fight, I want to say for like 4 days, and wanted to call it quits, but I didn't want to call it quits because I knew something. I remember my wife obsessively played this game, and I remember her beating the game and then her being like, but no, there's like actually more, like, and I was just kind of assuming that she was just like going off and doing side quests and shit like that. But No, there's actually more. So like you beat the game and it's like you get the whole credits. It's like the end, blah, blah, blah. You have saved the world, the end. And that's it. It kicks you out to the title screen. And if you load your file again, it does the same like ending thing. It's like, you saved the world, the end. And then after that, like, it goes into like, it's like there's more stuff to do and like there's more actual story. And according to my, you know, my new best friend, ChatGPT, there's like a whole third act that's like another 20 to 30 hours. And so I've been playing that. Can't get enough of it, man. Really awesome game. And I'm a huge fan of when you beat a game and you think like that's it, and it's like, no, there's really like a significant amount more to the game. Example I've always talked about recently is Pikmin 4. It's like you beat the game and there's like literally almost a whole second game stacked on top of that. Like, I love that shit.
Well, that's neat. Don't get AI psychosis? Is that
I saw that. People like thinking that like they're gonna become a god or something, like
ChatGPT mental illness, or saw multiple news reports this week on that. I don't know why that's hit this week, but
well, people have been using it. It's bound to happen.
It's that guy who replaced all of his salt with sodium bromide. That guy.
He's the one.
Because it gives you like psychosis.
Awesome. Yeah, I was wondering like how that happened. But I guess like, yeah, if you
do something GBT told like that, him to you could substitute this for salt.
Yep.
And
that made him nuts.
Like it was one of the biggest causes of mental illness in the 19th century until they realized the connection. But ChatGPT has brought it back.
Great.
You know, it makes a few mistakes. It's a work in progress.
Sure. He's just causing people mental illness by telling them to replace their salt.
Hey, stop talking shit about my new best friend.
I use it when it. Like I don't go to the ChatGPT or what's Microsoft's Copilot. There's one that's called.
I don't know.
Like, I never go there and like utilize it. Like, but if it does pop up in like a web search or something, and it's like, hey, here's whatever the Google AI thing is. I will click on it just to see if the info's there.
I would say
I use it to like rewrite emails. Like,
okay. Do you really?
is this like too angry? Like it'll change like the tone of your email if it's too harsh. But I would never use it as a source of facts.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I was trying to like write something for one of my kids, like, and I needed a Pokemon that ended in like certain letters, and it kept giving me Pokemon that wouldn't end in those letters. Because apparently there wasn't any. But I kept answering the question and telling me that there were, and here they are, and none of them ended in the right letters. And I'm like, what is happening here?
It's like, do you not know your letters, ChatGPT, or whatever? Yes, I don't know which one you're using.
That's ChatGPT.
Yeah, I would say I actually use ChatGPT a lot because I think that it's better than Google in a lot of ways, and Google has become a lot worse because of their AI, which is not super great. But
it's hard to find anything when you search for it anymore on any of the.
If I just have like a real simple, quick question, I just ask ChatGPT, and it's like, it's. I'm not saying that it's never wrong, because I could give you instances in where it's very wrong, but like, you know, it's generally, I'd say, like, pretty good. You could teach it to learn things about you, so you don't have to like explain things all again if you have a question about something, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm taking a medication, oh, and like, you know, for this, and like it'll remember that if you like, you know, like say like a month later, like, if you think it's okay if I'm eating this food, it'll be like, well, with that medication, yeah, it's okay, or we're not. Now again, verify with a second source, because
Yeah, you don't want to be doing the sodium bromide thing.
Yeah, like, but because I'll tell you this.
That sounds like what you would ask your doctor, but I guess you don't always have access to your doctor.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something serious, obviously, like, you know, or yeah, like, you know, I can message my doctor on, you know, I have an app for that too, but whatever. I'm just saying, like, there are cool things about it for sure, but if you guys really want to test its limitations, if you're in the middle of a video game and you're stuck, instead of looking up how to, like, what you're supposed to do next, ask ChatGPT. It'll send you on fucking insane wild goose chases nearly every time. And then you'll, like, yell at it, like, dude, that is not where I had to go. That's not what I had to do. And it's like, oh, right, I'm sorry. Yeah, what I actually meant to tell you is you're supposed to go here. Like, you obviously haven't done this thing yet. I kind of assumed this thing. And you're like, well, why didn't you fucking tell me to do that thing? And it's like, and then the next thing it tells you to do is also wrong. So, like, it's very horrible. It's very horrible to use as for help in, like if you're stuck in a game, which would be great because, like, sometimes, like, if you're stuck in a game, like, sometimes the solution to figuring out, like, what you need to do is not so simple, like, through a regular search. And we're like, you know, like, oh, you know, it's somewhere buried in this 1 hour fucking playthrough of a video. Like, I have to, like, scrub through looking for the part I'm stuck at. But, yeah, like, if you really want to, like, see its limitations and it'll amuse you and drive you nuts, use it when you get stuck in a game. Because I don't think I've had it. I'm not going to say it's never given me correct info, but it is, like, pretty reliably bad info. And it sounds super knowledgeable. They'll be like, oh, yeah, you're in this part, in this region of the map. Well, what you need to go to the northeast corner of this map, and then you need to talk to this guy, and then he will set the quest in motion. And then you go over there, and then none of that happens. Like, dude, it's not letting me do that. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. You're supposed to go to the southwest corner of the map. And you're just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong? Like, I actually got in a fight with it one time. We almost broke up.
Jeff has ChatGPT psychosis.
Like, I think it was one time I was playing Oblivion, and no matter how many times I asked it something, I started braiding it. Like, dude, please stop giving me bad info. Double check your fucking info before you answer my next question. And it'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. I totally got you this time. I got you, bro. And then it'd still get it wrong. So that was, like, my first lesson early on with ChatGPT. That, like, it is kind of a pretty impressive tech, but, like, it is definitely still flawed.
Anything else besides Dragon Quest? Yeah, and
decided to buy Silent Hill 2 for PS5.
Yes,
because I finally bought, like, an HDMI switch for, you know, for my
mm-hmm.
TV, so like
have multiple,
so I could use my PS5 again, which I mainly wanted to do so I could watch my 4Ks, because my Xbox will not read 4K discs anymore. Silent Hill 2, yeah, it's all right. I don't know. I really wish I didn't pay $70 for it, to be honest with you. Like, it just doesn't. It's fine.
It's a good remake of Silent Hill 2.
That's but it's just, to me, it's like Resident Evil and Silent Hill are like Coke and Pepsi, and I prefer Coke. You know?
I'm with you generally on that. I do like Silent Hill. And if you're doing the Coke and Pepsi comparison, I don't like Pepsi, but
yeah,
I do like Silent Hill enough that, like, it entertains me. There are certain ones that are good. There are two is one that everyone, like, raves about, and I am a one and three guy. I prefer
yeah, so those. But I've played. For sure, I've played all the way through 1 through 3, and 2 is my favorite. It's been a while, though, so I didn't remember what the fuck I was doing. And it's just, like, it seems like a totally fine game, but it's probably a game I'll be done with pretty quick, and I spent $70 on it. The funny thing is, like, at the time I bought it, I could have got it off of Amazon for, like, $30 to get, like, a disc copy of the game. Right. That's just how much I am against physical copies of games at this point that I'm just like, no, I want to fuck that. I don't want. And maybe this is a weird me thing, but it's like, all right, at this moment, I don't own any physical PS5 games. So right. If I buy this one, I'm just going to have a PS5 collection of games that is like one or two games. It's just too weird for me. Like, I don't know why that's weird to me, but I'm just like, that's weird. Fuck that. Like, it's got to be all like one or the other, like digital or. I'm not like that with movies. Like, I'll do both, but. It's a weird little quirk for me.
It was where I was with the Switch, the original Switch. Like, Switch 2, I've moved on to just digital, but. With the first Switch, I was definitely like, oh, I want to get it on. I want to get a physical copy of it if I can get one. It's like, it's such a pain in the ass. Like,
yeah.
It's just way easier to have it all take like a bunch of different like cards with you if you're going somewhere. My kids have, you know, they can have Mario Kart World and Mario Kart 8 on the same system. Not have to have all my cards anymore. So,
yeah.
Or losing your cards.
Right.
That's been an issue with my kids. They're so small. Yeah. And yep. The kids don't put them back and they just stick them somewhere. And the thing is like not even a square inch. And it just gets like swiped off by the cat and it's gone forever.
Yep. And you end up buying two sometimes. Like,
yes.
So yeah, that can get pricey. Jeff, tell everybody what was going on with Silent Hill 2 though.
Oh yeah.
So you have me rolling.
I think most of us here know how like survival horror games work. And very early on, they do give you like a decent amount of resources. You're finding handgun bullets all over the place, even though you don't have a gun. You're finding health drinks all over the place. But unfortunately for me, like, I just find it where they, well, for one, I was playing like dozens of hours of Dragon Quest where like pulling up the map was one of the face buttons. Uh-huh. And here, pulling up the map is the up button on the directional. And so I kept hitting one of the face buttons. Yeah, I would keep hitting triangle and drinking my health. Like, I was perfectly, like, I had full health. But, like, my brain could not rewire to play this game. And I wasted a minimum of 7 healths early on in the game, which I'm sure I'm going to very greatly regret. I think I got it down now, but it's just so funny. Like, you know, this is a genre, and I'm just like, you know, I've played this game. I don't see what the big improvement here is. I really don't. And so I'm still, even though I've beaten it, I'm playing more of Dragon Quest still, and looking for like what my other next big game is gonna be. Outside of Silent Hill. I think I was like, because since I hooked up my PS5, I was like, I should get something that's like a big exclusive for PS5. I think that was the only thing I could really think of. I was like, what else would I get? You guys have any like, you should play this? Or
did you play God of War?
I have God of War, and I don't think I played a few hours of that. Maybe I should go back to that. I have games that I should play. I have God of War and I have, Spider-Man 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have both of those and I've, they both just bored me or something early on. Even though I know I like God of War. I don't know.
Do you have any recommendations, Tony? Tony, you have any recommendations?
I haven't turned my PS5 on in ages, and I have like the same game sitting around that he does.
I was thinking maybe like that Final Fantasy VII, whatchamacallit, like I don't know, but like several of them now.
There's Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then there's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is the second of the trilogy. Just okay. FYI, they are both coming to Xbox now. So
yeah, because I saw, I don't know if it was Xbox or Switch, there's something called like Final Fantasy VII Intergrade. I'm like, what the fuck is Intergrade?
So is that the first one
or the second one?
It's the first one. It is the remake, which is the game, and then it also has the Yuffie DLC. And I don't know why they called the combined version Integrate.
It's like they're trying to confuse you with the fucking naming of these games sometimes. That's, dude.
Square Enix, like, they name this shit stupid.
They infinitely undiscovered the names. It's a whole.
That's true. That was one of their titles too.
But like you said, Chris, I also saw that like it was coming to other platforms or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of whatever then. Man, like, Sony, what are you doing?
Prefer, being as you prefer to play stuff on your Switch or your Xbox, like,
definitely
you might just want to wait.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's what I've been up to.
Did you play Ghost of Tsushima?
No, should I play that?
I think it's a cool like samurai type game.
Does it have
skill points? It's like Assassin's Creed.
Skill points
in Japan.
Is it skill points? I don't know if there's skill points.
I don't remember at this point.
It's very important to me. Like you want to apply points somewhere.
That's my addiction. Yeah, it's addiction.
I don't remember the upgrade path in Tsushima.
I don't think it's as in your face as Assassin's Creed Shadows, which
had a gigantic skill tree.
Yeah,
and you know, Shadows is one that I definitely want to play, but it's like I just know, like any second now, it's going to be like a very good price. You know,
you wait on that. You wait 3 months on that, Jeff, you're going to get it for like $20.
Yeah, and so I feel like I can wait on that. Oh, what is that one that they just added to Game Pass? It's Assassin's Creed. It's like Mirage.
Yeah. I don't think you'd like that one. That's more of a traditional Assassin's Creed.
I'm good.
Right, Tony, because you played Mirage, right? Like it's
more like the old style. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't like it's free ones. Now. You can play for free.
I know, but
yeah. And it won't take you that long. It'll take you. It'll take like 2 or 3 days. You'll get to the whole thing.
All right, Earl. You play anything this week?
So I played two things. I think I mostly focus on the first. I mentioned it in the chat this week. It came out today, but. Over the weekend, Nintendo hosted a global jam event, or whatever they want to call it, for Dragon Drive. Dragon Drive was the wheelchair basketball game that was revealed during the Switch 2, announcement event direct that they had back in April. And it was like one of those games where it's kind of like ARMS, where the series is designed around trying to showcase the technology of the system. But unlike ARMS has a ton of personality and characters, but you know, I'm always willing to give a game a benefit of the doubt and check it out. I would also say, I think this is an easy say of the four of us. I'm probably the one who's most keen to play a motion control game. I actually do like motion controls in video games.
You are out of the four of us. You are that guy.
Yes. So when they had this, you know, again, I wasn't big into the idea, but I'm like, you know what? They're having this good demo. Let me try it out. Let me see how it goes. And I absolutely did not have my time with it. I paid a tutorial and one match. And I felt the entire time I was just fighting the game because I could not get the game to do what I wanted to do on a consistent basis. So for those of you who don't know how this operates or works, Drag and Drive uses the Joy-Cons two on the side as mouse controllers. And it's basically wheelchair basketball. So in order to move forward, you move both of the Joy-Cons at the same time. in order to move, like, yeah, you would move the, I think you move the right one, because you're turning in. But yeah, you'd move one of them to move in that direction. What I found happened a lot of times is I try to move forward and it starts spinning in a circle. When I want to spin, it's when they want to push forward. And then that's just movement. That was frustrating. And then it's basketball. So in order to shoot, you don't have to necessarily stop, but you have to lift up one of your hands and then stick it. So again, sometimes you're trying to do this thing, lift it up. It's doing whatever it wants to do. You have to, like, you're trying to stop, so like, you aim towards the basketball or something like that, or the hoop. Sometimes I would do it, sometimes I wouldn't. You'd have to, like, in order to play defense and knock the ball out of somebody's hand, you'd have to roll into them, but you have to roll into them from the front, and roll into them from the back, I have a folding table. Mm-hmm. That I sometimes use when I am being lazy and don't want to use one of my dining tables. And I tried that. It wasn't working. I tried putting it on my, they recommend putting it on the app. Like, I found a bit more success with my app, but the same thing where at times it would just start doing its own thing. And I played one match. I'm like, you know what? I'm happy for Nintendo. I'm happy for them to try something different. This is not for me. This is not for me at all. And that's the damn. I enjoy ARMS. I enjoy a lot of their weird, funky, system games. And this one, between the just not being fun to play for me, and just such a generic looking style, which is such so unlike them to have something that. It has any type of personality. Like, it is just a bunch of like gray characters on a gray basketball court. It did them no favors. I think the reviews kind of agree with me. Probably one of the lowest reviewed games I've ever seen published by Nintendo. I think right now it's somewhere in the 50s on Metacritic.
I just checked OpenCritic and it was a 61, which is really low. Their scores are normally a little bit higher than Metacritic too.
It was not a good time. Just not a good time.
Is that a full price game too?
No, I think it's $20.
Okay. Well, at least there's that.
$30. Yes. I think they knew what they had. You could tell they had not done a ton of marketing around it. The Scrabble Jam, like, I know it was Splatoon and ARMS. Splatoon was weeks and weeks before the game came out. This one was the weekend before. It's $20. It's digital only. If anything, I would have done this instead of Welcome Tour. Then it kind of shows the mouse controls, but not a good game.
Well, that sucks for Dragon Drive. What was the other game that you played?
This is also a demo. I don't know if any of you also tried it. Mina de Hollywood, the new game.
No, but that is one that I do want to take a look at.
And that one I did enjoy. I did enjoy that one. One, I do like the style of it. It's a very nifty game. I like to start your own, like, on a pirate ship and stuff like that. It has that. I don't want to. It's the one thing I would complain about, and this is just me being an old man. It does not tutorialize a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff where you just kind of press buttons and figure it out. There's a jump button and an attack button, and that works. But then there are times where, like, if you press and hold the jump button, there's certain terrains that she can dig underneath, and you can do that to, like, navigate obstacles. But you can also do that to, like, pick up rocks and throw it at people. Then there were what I thought were enemies. It was like these floating cow thingies, and I thought you'd have to, like, hit it to get it out of the way. Finding out it's a platform you jump on, but you can only jump on it once. before it disappears, and then it will reform. But like, you know, you use that to platform around and stuff like that. Different types of enemies and bosses. You collect gold or bones and stuff like that. And I think every 300 you level up, or you can bank it. You can increase the power of your attacks. You can increase your defense and stuff like that. So yeah, I enjoyed it, and that would be a game that I think I would check out the full version when it drops later this year, I think.
Yeah. So I know it's kind of like, would you say it's more Zelda-ish? Like, is that kind of how it plays?
Huh.
Like 2D Zelda?
The reason I don't want to say that is, so far it hasn't given me Zelda vibes in that sense.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what game it would most resemble. Because, like, aesthetically, like, the whole top-down and stuff, it does look like Zelda, but, like,
right.
I don't, like, it's more of an action game than I would consider Zelda. And there hasn't been a ton of puzzles and stuff like that. And I think the other thing, even though I think Echoes of Wisdom and In Between Worlds has it, the 2D Zelda games didn't have a jump functionality. And I feel like that changes what those games were.
Right. I see that she has like this little kind of like flail thing that reminds me a lot like Castlevania.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. You get at the start, you get to pick from three weapons. I assume it's so you can have the hands, which is kind of more mid range, quick stabs. You have a hammer, which is more powerful, but you have to charge it up. And then she has like the ball and mace, which is bigger, longer range. But you know, it's one of those where like, if you're not at the long range, but not like mid or close range, because it just shoots out in front of you,
right. Yeah, the one screenshot I'm looking at kind of looked like, what if Zelda and Castlevania had a baby? Like that. But just that's just based on like the one screenshot I'm looking at.
I can kind of see that, because again, like the Castlevania thing of like you are able to get I think right now you get like a single power up from like drops. Like I had one, I think one was like a boomerang that you throw forward, but it has X number of uses that you have like with mana or something like that. And then if you got another one, it'll replace that. So it reminds me of Castlevania in that sense. So yeah, maybe, I mean, I would be curious to see what their references are.
All right. Well, I think I will download. It's the demo's up on Switch, right? So
I assume everything, but yeah, I paid it on Switch.
Yeah, I'll download it there and give it a go. Tony, what historical setting have you been reading this past week?
I've actually been playing Total War, Warhammer 3.
So not a historical setting.
Yes. I got one of the DLCs earlier this year, which featured dwarves that had some really cool weapons. Among them a cart you could push forward and that, like, spin that would throw axes like a machine gun, which looks really cool in battle. It's really fun,
I bet. Yeah.
And they had some other stuff like a giant blimp that could fire this giant like spear that would instantly like impale something, which is also really cool. I played with them for like maybe 30 hours, like, because I've been at home. I've been off this week because I've been playing lots of games. When I realized like the map in Total War Warhammer 3 is too large, like it's huge. And the longer you play the game, the longer the turns take, because like you start off, you have one army and a small amount of territories. It's easy to manage. The turns go really fast. And then you get to the point where each turn is taking like an hour and a half.
Because you have so much to manage?
Because there's so much to manage. Like you're going through building stuff in all your territories and moving each army one by one and building units for those armies and fighting each battle that each army's. It's too much. And so I'd played all this time in this save file. I had never looked at the victory conditions. And I had spent all this time expanding my dwarven empire in the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
So I started a new file. Playing as different dwarves. Now I'm playing as chaos dwarves. I am very carefully reading the victory conditions this time. So I will not be playing 40 hours in this file. I will have beaten the game by then. I was also bored. Like, you spend so much time with the same thing and the units are all the same. Dwarves are not that exciting. They don't have any, like, all the other factions have really cool monsters and stuff.
Right.
The dwarves focus on being dwarves and, like, having machines and, you know, cannons and stuff. So playing as the chaos dwarves, you kind of sound like, all right, it's just more dwarves, which, I mean, it is just more dwarves. There are definitely lots of dwarves with their dwarven machines. But since they're chaos, they also have, like, monsters. They have, like, you know, manticores and flying bulls that they ride around and, like, giant beasts that they can recruit. So I'm having some fun with the chaos dwarves. Although I will say the funniest thing about the chaos dwarves, they have this, like, weird economy mm-hmm. where they, like, they fight in battles to acquire labor. Labor is the word for slaves, apparently, in the game. But they call it labor. They never use the S word, which is funny because there are other factions in the game that use slavery as, like, a mechanic. For some reason, this one just calls it labor. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. But you acquire labor to run your mines, which produce resources. You can use the resources to build factories, which also use labor, to produce armaments, which you can then use to upgrade your units. It's like a really cool, like, actually managing an economy, because normally in Total War games, you're just building a build. You built this building, it gives you gold. And the gold mm-hmm. is, like, the one resource that you use for everything. So it's kind of cool to have these interlocking parts to manage. But yes, labor, not slaves, labor.
Got it.
But I am enjoying the Chaos Dwarfs. It's fun. I'm really looking forward to actually finishing this campaign, which I will, because I know how to finish the campaign.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you know how to finish that.
Like, I can finish the other one, but I got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm not that far from the end. It's going to be like 8 or 9 turns, and the turns are all taking me an hour and a half.
It's going, like, to take you that. 10, 15 hours to actually finish it.
I'm not doing that.
Wow. Yeah. Anything else besides Total War? I mean, that was
a lot of Total War. So much Total War. I did want to get into the Battlefield 6 demo, but I'll be doing mm-hmm. that.
That's this weekend too, right? Or has it been going on all week? Or?
So it was Saturday and Sunday last weekend, and then it started back up again today. So.
Yeah, I kind of want to check it out, but I won't be home this weekend, so we just have to wait. It'll be out in October probably, so absolutely. Hopefully it's good. I did not play much this week. I did try. We'll see how much I continue with it, but I reinstalled Borderlands 2. And started up on that again for, like, the fourth time, I think, since it came out. I think when it originally came out, I played it with you and Jeff and Fozzie. We all played probably up until we got to Sanctuary. And then I don't know what happened. We stopped playing it. That was when I stopped playing it.
Yep, I never went back to it either.
Yeah. And then I tried to play it with a friend of mine, and we also got the Sanctuary and then played. And I think this might be the third or fourth time that I've, you know, second time solo trying to do it. I think I've just come to the conclusion I don't like Borderlands unless I'm playing with somebody.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
You can't solo those games.
It's everything's like really Bungie, and I don't know. It's like the dialogue's terrible. Like there's no draw. Like it's a kind of a game that you can just go in and talk with friends and shoot things, and that's fun. But there's nothing else like really looking for it. So
I think some of the weapons are fun.
Yeah, that you know especially as the game the series has progressed, they've gotten more and more goofy with them. They do have some neat like weapons that have cool like status effects on them. I just think like playing it now, like what that game came out in like 2011 or so, 14 years later, like it just doesn't hold up. And I feel like I would rather just play Destiny at this point. Like if I were to actually play one of those.
I think a big part of it, a big problem with it, and because I went through I want to say during the pandemic, maybe I went through it again.
Mm-hmm.
The humor dates it so much. So very much. And that's the thing where I'm like, oh, this, I don't know if I ever thought it's not great writing. It was never great writing, but it was unique at the time. And then you replay it and it's like, oh, it's not unique. It's just a lot. It is everything. Like, I just want you to shut up for a little bit. Because if it's not like Jack talking to you, it's one of the NPCs. Because like no matter what, they will always like talk. They will talk to you via the radio or something. Because people always have to be talking because they need to get their jokes in. And it is such a pocket of time of like internet humor was great, wasn't it? Isn't this great? Don't you get this reference? It's like, oh no, this is dated and this is bad.
Yeah, I fully agree. That's kind of where I'm at with it. I just don't. The dialogue is so bad, and there's so much of it. And it's not a short game. Like,
no.
I think maybe if it was like a 10-15 hour game, I can make it through this. It's just, there's so much, and I know that it's going to be like 30 or 40 hours. So,
and I wonder if that's why it works with friends, because honestly, most of the time we're talking and laughing that you're not paying attention to what that game is trying to say.
Right.
So if you're saying a single player, it's like, oh, I probably should pay attention to the quote unquote, like the story exists.
Yeah.
Half the time it's like, go here. Oh, this thing happened. Go here. And now I'm like, okay, whatever. And then one of my pet peeves, I understand it. One of the things that just drives me nuts is it's a co-op game. So like you all travel together. But the moment anybody goes into a menu or is in a menu, okay, we're going to have to halt this. Nobody can move. You know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Where, he's changing his guns. I guess we're all just standing here.
Okay, I guess we're all like, okay, everybody, it's now you can check your inventory. I'm like, it's a very stupid system. I understand why they do it. It's just always grading. Because, again, I got to the point. I'm just checking my menu real quick. I got XP. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. Just let me know when everybody's ready. And then I'm ready. And then somebody else would do it. I'm like, why didn't you do it when he was doing it?
I think that rings a bell as to why I quit the second time when I was playing with different friends. So we had one friend who was very meticulous about their loadout. Like, well, I got to check. I picked up new guns. I got to check to make sure which one's like specifically better. And it's like, dude, every time you pick up a gun, it's taking 10 minutes to...
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? This isn't fun anymore.
And I mean, the sad secret is, most of the time, it's not really much better.
No! Like, the number's slightly higher than this number.
Like, the big ones are really when you go into different zones. Like, there are times where there are certain types of weapons I prefer, especially, I think, in 3. When it has like energy weapons versus like ammo weapons versus like different vendors had different qualities to them, but it's still not like I have like an assault rifle that does well. I'm gonna keep this, and then over time you'll knock the 4 weapon shots because I think you always start off with 2, Like, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah. And the only other thing I play a little more. I'm slowly making my way through that. I think I'm on sub-level 1100 now. It's only like five more levels or six more levels to go, I think. But Jeff said that you said that the last level's a lot. Like it's all kind of a long level.
The final boss-ish thing. Yeah.
But I should be making progress on that and hoping to finish that at some point soon. So that's it. Earl, were we gonna do Resident Evil next week?
Yeah.
Is that what we said? Okay.
Yeah. Because then we can talk Twist. So we can talk the Twisted Metal finale the week after.
Yep. All right. So we will have Resident Evil next week. And there's still really there's not a lot of new games out. So they're coming. There's a bunch of stuff coming at the end of August. But
do we have games coming next week or is that the week after?
I think Gamescom might be next week because Xbox just announced what they are actually showing there.
Yeah, so
the 19th.
Yeah, we'll have that to talk about at least. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll have hopefully some new news from Microsoft and Sony and I don't think Nintendo does a big Gamescom thing, but. Would be nice to know when Metroid's coming.
I think now that Dragon Drive is out, they don't really. Pokemon's dated. Metroid isn't. Kirby Air Ride still has no date. Hyrule Warriors has no date. That's it. There's a few games they could probably put some date to.
Hyrule Warriors doesn't have a date either?
No, it was at the Part in Direct. And like, it was still like winter 2025. I'm like, why show?
And highly suspect on all these, especially man. It's like I'm just in my head. It's like it's next year. So like, if it comes out this year, I'll be surprised.
It's like, oh, it's out. Like that's great. But if it's not, it's whatever.
It's like in my mind, it's already a done deal. Like, come on, how do we not know yet?
I think it will come out this year. I think it would come out this year. I just assume I did not think they would put it as a November title. I thought they would be like a September title. And I thought Pokemon would be their November title, but then they did the Pokemon for October. So yeah, I don't know. I mean I'm still of the mindset that I still feel like there might be a secret game somewhere, but I don't know.
I still believe there's a game that they've not announced.
Yes. And then I mean because the other thing is, we'll see. I mean, it's the Mario 40th. At least according to them, so you would think they'd do something for that.
Hey, give me Galaxy 2.
Though I would say
that would be nice. Yeah,
I don't know if you folks saw the rumor. I would cackle if they did the rumored before like they might do a new Super Mario Brothers All Stars. And I'm like, yeah, that would go over so well. And just so we're clear, I don't mean like a new Super Mario. I mean a new, as in a new brand of Super Mario Brothers game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's a very stupid name, especially when it's four of them. But
so you do like new Super Mario Brothers Wii, new Super Mario Bros. U,
and new Super Mario
Brothers like that collection.
Yes.
Got it. I don't like that. I don't dislike those games. I think I enjoyed those games generally, but I don't like that idea. Please don't do that.
Like I said, that's I would cackle if it happened. But I mean, it makes sense because I mean they have their distracted, but it has been over 12 years since the last new one. So yeah. It's weird to think about, but like the kids who grew up with like the original New Super Mario Brothers would have been. I mean, they would be much older than we were when the original Mario All Stars came out, because that came out very soon after. But like, yeah, the people who grew up with those games are in that nostalgic They're in their early 20s. Yeah, they'd be in their early 20s now, because if you assume it came out with 2005, like, I imagine if you were 4 or 5 back then, you're definitely in your 20s.
Yeah.
Or even if you did the Wii one, the Wii one's like 2009, that's 16 years old.
I mean, it is a definite possibility, because those games are old enough. So
yeah, I mean, that I would not, if I was Nintendo, I would have to do all of them, and I have to go back and do Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3 World, and then I do the new Super Mario. They can't see a lot of people craving just doing a new Super Mario Brothers, but it is a possibility. There's 4 of them. I mean, you can do 5 if you do the Luigi DLC for you. But yeah. Again, like I said, I would just cackle if that was what came out, though.
They'll be so frustrated, but it would be funny.
There was one small bit of Nintendo news that I thought was actually pretty damn cool. Did you guys catch that Chibi Robo is coming to the Nintendo Switch Online?
No.
Yeah, kind of a cult hit GameCube game that I always really loved. In fact, I tracked it, or my wife tracked it down a few years ago for me as like a birthday present or a Christmas present or something, right? And it's like a very expensive game now. And so now the fact that it's coming to the game, or yeah, the GameCube games on Switch, it's pretty awesome. It's like a deep cut. Cool. They're dropping early on. Yeah. And if you guys haven't played Chibi Robo, it's awesome. Like, it's worth checking out.
Is it like a 3D platformer, Jeff, or 2D platformer?
Yeah. Huh?
Like, is that what it is? It's a platformer?
Kind of. It ain't really about jumping so much as, like...
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a... They think you're going around, like, doing chores in the house and stuff like that.
Yeah. And kind of, like, upgrading yourself so you could, like, travel... Getting upgrades so you could travel higher, things like that, and...
I pay for that Nintendo Online thing, so
it's worth checking out. I think you dig it. Like, it's, and if you do like play it all, it actually has like a story to it and everything. This guy kind of really like overlooked game, and it's cool for them to like, they clearly still have some love for, like, you know, they're still kind of proud of that game. It's just like nobody cares. But it's cool that yeah, not what I would have expected as one of the first 10, you know, GameCube games for them to drop. And it's like, again, one that if you wanted to play in a legal fashion, it's pretty expensive at this point. Hard to come by, so.
And is this seems to be their thing, is like they're dropping like one a month.
It or seems so. That way, yeah.
I mean,
it's better than no support at all, because sometimes they just drop these like systems, like, I don't know, when was the last fucking... Anything else? Like, but when's the last Game Boy Advance game?
That's what I was gonna say. I think it would be fine if it wasn't so sporadic. Because yeah, I think like, they try to do. I don't think they did it. They usually try to do like, because they have the base tier, which is NSO, which is, I think, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like the, and then I think Genesis is included in that. Then they have the expansion, which is now N64, GameCube, and Game Boy Advance. And I feel like they try to do like one game there, and then they try to do one game in the other one.
It should be one from every platform a month. That would feel
I think the problem, I don't think there's as many like Nintendo games they have to publish on like Nintendo or Super Nintendo and stuff like that. GameCube. N64 has more games that we need to get into. The Game Boy is funky because a lot of the Game Boy Advance games were really just ports of like Super Nintendo games. Like, you could do the Mario games, but they're already on the Super Nintendo and it's Nintendo. The Zelda games are up there. But yes, my point is, like, it does feel very sporadic. Like, they need to. And I think part of it is like third parties realize they could sell these games separately, so you don't end up, you know, like the I think the Genesis has like Sonic 1, but it has no other Sonic game on it, or maybe it has Sonic Pinball as well. There's like no Castlevania on any of these services. There's not a Street Fighter on any of these services, because you can sell these in bundles elsewhere.
Yeah, that's unfortunate too, because as much as I like the Konami collection, Capcom does some like decent fighting game collections. I do wish that they were included on this service as well, just because that's where, you know, when I have people over and it's like, oh, let's play like some of the classic games when they bring up the Switch, and it's like, all right, it's like you got Street Fighter 2. We used to play that all the time, man. Like, oh, it's not on here. Sorry, dude. we can turn the Xbox on. I have it over there.
Yeah, and I think that was the promise of the Virtual Console. And the Virtual Console had a lot more games because, one, you were paying for it.
Yeah. But
two, it was before people were like, oh, no, there's money in just like doing these collections.
Yep.
That we could fill in our library with. So we're not giving them to you. We are going to do Midnight. Capcom just did the fighting game collection. And again, I don't begrudge people for that, but a lot of like those classic games. I mean, I don't think there's any Mega Man games on any of these services. And that's because Capcom is telling you the Mega Man collection, the Mega Man X collection, the Mega Man Battle Network collection. Battle Network is a big Game Boy Advance game. Same thing with a lot of the Castlevania games. Aria Sorrows.
So yeah, Castlevania is done. They've put, you know, they have their classic game collection. They have the advanced collection, and there's the DS collection. They're all out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is neat, Jeff. When does that hit? When does Chibi Robo hit?
You know, that's a great question.
It's next Thursday. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I will look at that.
It's worth checking out, man. Like, it is, it does feel a little like aged at this point, but it's still like, GameCube had some gems like this for sure. Man, what I want now? I want Wario World. Or whatever that one was. Was it Wario World?
It's Wario World, yes. The one made by Treasure.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of interesting games they could put up there. I mean,
I know.
You got two Metroid Prime games. You know, Sunshine at some point, I'm assuming. Wind Waker is there. You could technically do Twilight Princess. Then people forget that's a game.
Yep.
It would be nice if they re-released Master Quest. I don't think that gets re-released often.
Yeah, that would be really cool for them to do. Yeah.
They need to be talking with Sega and get a Skies of Arcadia release.
Yeah.
That was really where they announced that.
Yeah, I would play that.
Especially being that the GameCube version is, in my opinion, the superior version.
Yeah.
One, because they ran them back over 8. And then they added additional boss battles and more people for your crew. God, I love that game so much.
I gotta play it. It's turn based, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much in. It's a little bit more advanced than like the Final Fantasy PlayStation, and it's probably not as advanced as like DQ11 that you just played, but
yeah,
it's a very solid game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back maybe next week with Chibi Robo and Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil movie. As we add that to our list of video game movies that we've watched. So. All right. Well, I'm off to DC. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.